right, so I think we're rolling at a new place.
Yeah, Casa, trying out a new location.
Casa de Shaw. And we're in the studio where a lot of magic happens. There's children, there's dogs, and there's vibes. Jamel, what episode are we on? Is this episode 12?
Season 2, episode 5.
I think it's 5. Yeah, so welcome to the show. We are in a new place and more a product of necessity, but this is cool so far. Jamie has been gracious to host us. And so far we're here. Before we kind of dive into the depths of the show, I wanted to start off, and we'll try to tie this all together. We're always trying to tie this all together in some sort of meaningful way.
We're going to introduce the show?
We're going to start with, you want to introduce it? You introduce it.
Yeah. Welcome to season 2, episode 5 of Campfire Conversations.
Yep.
Happy to be here. To my left, we have our wonderful host, Mr. Josh Hugo.
Thank you, sir. And Jamel Austin, Jamie Shaw producing. We're actually back to the very first episode's composition of the show.
Back to the basics.
Back to the basics, but we hope the show isn't very basic this time. We're going to hopefully get to some depth. But before we get to some depth, we're going to get to some quotes. So I'm going to actually start off. We all get a guess what fills in the blank to this quote.
Okay.
All right, and this one is written by Oscar Wilde. Before I read the quote, we're going to introduce each quote with a little bit of a sound effect. Done live in the studio. Our first quote is, I can resist everything except
money.
We're not on the mic over there. I was looking at Jamie. He's not there. I know the answer to this, but if I closed my eyes and thought, I can resist everything except glory, but I would be wrong. Jamie? Ladies. Oscar Wilde was, in fact, I believe, gay, so he did not say ladies. He might have said men, but he didn't say either. He said, I can resist everything except temptation.
It's wild.
Oscar Wilde for the start. All right. This one here will get a little serious for a moment. We're going to get politically deep. Uh-oh. This is by Mickey Kendall. You familiar?
Never heard of him.
I think it might be a she. America loves the myth of blank more than anything else because it lets us ignore the reality of the impact of bigotry.
American exceptionalism.
America loves the myth of blank more than anything else because it lets us ignore the reality of the impact of bigotry. That's a good one. Now that I have the answer, both of you are on the right track. We got meritocracy. You did in many ways. We're on the right path. All right. You're only as good as your last blank.
Paycheck.
Haircut.
Who said that?
Fran Lebowitz. I think, is that the show, like that old show in the 2000s with It's Fran or something?
You're only as good as your last haircut?
You're only as good as your last haircut.
Okay.
How often do you get haircuts, Jamil?
I cut my own hair once a week. I get a haircut once a month.
Jamie? You cut your own weekly? Nice. Haircut. Okay. Winston Churchill, known for his quotes. I may be drunk, miss, but in the morning I will be sober and you will still be...
ugly. I know that one.
Ugly. Ugly is the answer. Winston Churchill was an ugly man, so I'm curious where he got the Well, I think we all know is he was powerful, so he could say whatever he wanted. But yeah, that is a Winston Churchill quote. He was also probably always drunk, so not sure he was ever sober. I don't know if we have that timed out right, but I like it. All right. Steve Martin. A day without sunshine is like, you know, blank.
A cloudy day.
He said night.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess you'd call that a tautology. Look that one up.
Yep.
Logic class. All right. And then this one is a kind of a meaningful one to end on before we kind of dive into our discussion tonight. But whoever debases others is debasing
the base.
The base?
Yeah.
James Baldwin would agree mostly with Jamie there. He said himself, herself, themselves. But that's an interesting one, I think.
I like James Baldwin.
Yeah, James Baldwin is a good dude. So, well, that's how we're starting off, and we're going to tie it together. That was the camera. I'm pointing at the camera there, too. With we're going to add some new effects to the show tonight, you know. We get so much feedback, it's hard for me to sort through it with your online comments and relentless emails, and it's like overwhelming, but
it's nonstop.
It's nonstop. But if you do have feedback about our new sound effects tonight, we might get back to you if I have a chance to sort through all of it. But so Jamel and I, two Thursdays ago, I went over to Jamel's pad. You got a great place, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think it's all right.
Basement set up for, there's not just one television. There's not just two televisions.
Not one, not two, not three.
Not three.
Sure.
We sure could, I bet. But four TVs, some great couches, and I came over, and Jamel and I and Jamie have obviously been doing this podcast here for, you know, we've hit our year mark.
Yeah,
we've hit our year mark. Last September we started. And, you know, we've had some internal chats just about, hey, where do we want this podcast to go? And I think whenever you're trying to think about the direction of something, you really kind of got to get back to the core of it. And, like, why do we start it and what do we do this for? And, I mean, let's not overstate the value of what we're doing here. It's a podcast. And we're not changing the world. But I think for both Jamel and Jamie and myself, we didn't want to start this just to kind of, I don't know, just kind of waste anyone's time. I think we wanted to produce something that has potential value for people. So we sat down and we kind of got back to, like, why do we start this? And I think it goes back to the core of, you know, we want this to be a place for our own chance to connect with each other as friends, but also to kind of model some of that as, like, hey, connection's important. And especially as we're all hitting that mid stage of life, or the, you know, this, the third, fifth of it, if we're going to hit 100, you know, we're starting to get to a place where we wanted to kind of spend some time sharing some of our own reflections on life and maybe a little bit of wisdom to go along with it, and some bourbon too. And so, we hope this podcast, for those who listen to it, could be a space for people to feel some connection, feel some relevance. We don't want this to be kind of a stuck-up, over-the-top sort of podcast. I think we want this to be a space where, you know, the quote-unquote every man or every woman or every person could listen in and say, hey, there's something there. And these guys are full of shit half the time, and that's okay because most of us are. But at the same rate, we wanted this to kind of get back a little bit to, you know, just having some fun with, you know, the three of us tonight and maybe a few more shows like this. And that's not, I mean, we've loved all of our guests. I've had such a great time with everyone, and we'll bring guests back. But we want to kind of hit the ground with a little bit more of just some connecting back to where we started. So
yeah.
How's that sound?
I love it.
Yeah.
Very eloquent, Josh.
Yeah, man. So we're going to get some That's What She Said jokes back in here, I hope. We're going to get some bad puns.
Gonna get punny.
We're gonna get some call outs, some call ins. Yeah. And we're gonna get going. So before we do that, maybe we take a little quick check in on the bourbon situation. Last episode, we did an old fashioned. So, first of all, we didn't talk much about that. Old fashions. Yeah, what do you think?
I'm a fan of old fashions.
Yeah, what about, like, why? What?
I like it because it is a relatively simple drink.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a good amount of alcohol content in there, mm-hmm. and it gets the job done.
Yeah, I love them. It's my favorite.
Old fashions are your favorite.
It is my favorite cocktail. Like, if you were to audit my bar tab from the last couple of years where I've, you know, I feel like I made it in terms of a certain part of my life when I wasn't, like, just looking to the cheapest beer on the menu. You know, I'm like, could I do that Montucky with a shout of Jim Beam? And it was like our anniversary dinner. It's like,
I feel like I still do the same thing.
There's a time and a place. But, you know, if we go out, yeah, any liquor drink I've got has been an old fashioned.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wait, so, is there anything else you would order?
Yeah, I would probably do like a Manhattan. I just like whiskey cocktails. Lindy will get, like, I like the one she gets. So she'll get, you know, gin and tequila based ones, vodka based ones.
Are you a whiskey guy? You're a bourbon guy.
I like it.
Would you say that you are a gin guy?
I do like gin. It's a good summer drink.
Gin's a summer drink?
I feel like it's a drink that I like, gin and tonics on the lake. But that was what it was told to me when I was, you know, in college in Wisconsin, and there's just so much mythology about any drink being justified by exactly what it is you're doing. You know, if you're doing that, this drink that you're drinking is perfect. So you could justify drinking like a heavy stout on a scorching hot day, and you could say this is a summer beer and you would have believed it, you know. So that's what I was told. Gin was a summer drink. I don't know.
I don't think it's a summer
drink. What kind of drink is it? A fall drink?
I think it's a disgusting drink.
Why? You don't like gin?
I do not like gin. Gin tastes like you're drinking a Christmas tree.
You used to distill stuff.
I did at one point in my life.
Yeah.
I was big on brandy.
A home distiller. How did you make that stuff? It turned into alcohol in like 4 days.
You know, the funny story behind it is that I was watching the show Moonshiners one time.
Yeah.
Not one time. I used to watch it a lot. And I was just like, if these country hillbillies can do this shit, I know I can. Got on the old, used my old Googles and went from there.
Oh, Jamie with a rare, we're getting a beer for those who are listening and not watching. Yeah, I mean, it would be a break from the whiskey. Yeah. Jamie is a house that's, yeah, no, this is great, man. Do you want to switch? Yeah. We just switched. We went from a dry dock breakwater pale ale to actually one of my favorite beers, Odell IPA.
I didn't know she made beers.
Odell. Who's... Oh.
See what I did there?
She's retired from stuff, I think, right?
Is she?
I don't know. I think she took a long break from music, I thought.
Yeah, well...
Maybe she's just...
Hello from the other side.
You said, Jamie, you said she married LeBron James? LeBron James' manager is married to Adele?
Mm-hmm. Rich Paul, not Maverick Carter.
Rich Paul. Wow. Okay. Well, this got sideways quick. You throw some beer in and now we've just lost track. So
welcome to Campfire, back to campfire Conversations.
The Campfire Conversation with our rebrand. So you got into watching the show, the what? The Bootleggers?
Moonshiners. Saw it a couple times and I was like, I feel like if they can do it, I can do the shit. Got on, used my Googles, bought a couple of things from Home Depot, got some copper, made myself a still, if you will, and went from there.
Was that question like when you went into Home Depot and they're like, why are you buying copper?
As long as you're spending money, they don't care.
Yeah.
Welcome to America, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, well, my friends back in high school, I remember this day. So if my buddies are listening, you know who you are. But we went to, this is not a meth story. although, you know, it would be a reasonable guess in the Midwest. But we went to the hardware store and my friend was looking for like a little metal cylinder. and some mesh, like screen, metal mesh screen.
Is he making a crack pipe?
He was making a pipe. Not for crack, but...
I should hope not.
No. Haven't done that. But he was, you know, getting into the marijuana. And my buddy was so upset at him. He was like his right-hand guy. And he turned to me in the car ride home. He's like, oh, I just can't believe it. You know, I won't use his name. But, you know, he's starting to smoke weed. I just can't believe that. I'm like, well, you drove him to Menards. He's like, yeah. Well, he didn't listen to me. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I appreciate this. I'm like, I didn't even know. Like, I knew that weed was around a little bit. But, like, I'm like, is this what you do to smoke weed? Is you go and buy pipe materials at Menards at a hardware store and assemble your own pipe? And I guess that's what you did. And it didn't get much better. We used apples.
I've heard of that before.
Metal cans.
Heard of that before.
I don't know. Is there any other weird accoutrements that you've heard of or seen or used?
A couple moths.
Accoutrements. I think it's a French word. Accoutrements. Materials. Paraphernalia, as the police would say.
I've seen a gas mask.
Like someone hot boxed their own gas mask?
I think so. I'm not a weed guy, so I was blown away when I saw it.
No pun intended.
What else have I seen? Oh, you know, on social media, I've seen like people do like a leaf blower.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how it works, but like, it's the craziest. I mean, but we live in Colorado, yeah, so I mean, it's
creativity,
not like...
I guess. But anyways, somehow we got there from hardware stores. So you built a still.
I built the still,
and you distilled fruit based liquors.
Yep, which is wine. Or I'm sorry, wine, but it's a brandy.
Yeah,
you make it from fruit.
Yeah, and how did it go?
It went well. So what you end up basically doing is you get a mead, not even a mead, but kind of like your mash or whatnot, right?
And yeah,
like
right.
You get that, it turns into wine, and the wine's like 14-15% alcohol, and then you distill it, and that's when it gets up to like 70-80-90.
You just keep taking the water out, essentially, yep. And it kind of gets to its core
yep.
property of alcohol.
Yep.
How did you distill it? Did you like do like a multiple distillation process? And you drank it?
Yeah. It was good stuff.
So what has it been like?
It wasn't cost effective.
For the listeners, like it's been what, 8 years that you've been blind in one eye since that or?
I would distill it. I would put it in like the glass jars that you would see, the mason jars and stuff like that. Some people would come and grab it from me every now and again. I use strawberries a lot. I think I did blueberries one time or something with strawberries. And
wow.
Yep. It was good stuff.
Yeah. So you did some distilling.
Oh, apples. Apples also.
Apple brandy is a common one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pear brandy is another one. I haven't had strawberry. That had to be pretty sweet.
It was good stuff.
Huh.
It just wasn't cost effective. Like yeah. I would make a whole bunch of it and I was like, I could just go down to the liquor store and buy.
Get some for, you know, yeah. quarter of the price.
Yep.
So anyways, yeah, we're tonight. Yeah, I guess that was actually a pretty interesting whiskey story there, or a distillation story
alcohol.
On its own. I did pull out a couple of random bourbon facts for those who are still keeping tabs and impressing their friends with random knowledge. But this has come up every time we've talked about bourbon, which a lot of people, when asked like, hey, what makes it bourbon? People say it has to be made in the United States or Kentucky. That is, in fact, true. It doesn't have to be made in Kentucky, but it does need to be made in the United States. And bourbon is the only spirit determined to be uniquely American as declared by a resolution of the United States Congress. Does anyone have a guess as to what decade that resolution was made?
I'm going to say the 30s.
You're close. Yeah, 60s. 1964.
Very close. I was very
would that
close
have been JFK or was he assassinated in 63? So it would have been LBJ, right? Lyndon B. Johnson was after Kennedy?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, we're very confident yep. about that fact. Don't fact check it. Second one. Bourbon is the reason that we have drinking straws. I mean, maybe they would have been invented later in life, but...
You're going to have to tell me one.
Yeah, Marvin Stone. You've heard of him, right?
Yeah, that's my cousin.
Yeah, Marvin. Cousin Marvin. Used to drink, you know, people would drink bourbon or whiskey with rye grass, like the reed from rye. And people were disappointed that it continued to, like, disintegrate into the whiskey. So he supposedly, this is the myth or the legend or both, truth, rolled up a piece of paper and used it to drink and decided to start actually making straws. So using paper and then dipping it in wax.
So the first straws were paper straws?
Paper and wax.
So we're going back to our roots with paper straws.
Going back to our roots. Is that an Imagine Dragons song?
I don't think so.
Can our producer...
Fact check
that one.
Google that one too. We're asking.
Going back to my roots. I think it's. I have that song in my head this week.
We're asking a lot of him right now. It sounds.
We are. So, that's our bourbon stuff. But we're going to actually switch gears, and we're going to go to a quote that I've been thinking on a lot recently, and you know, I think I'll start with it. And I can share a little bit more as to its personal value for me, but it's really got me thinking these days. Odyssey? I don't know. That reverb effect is pretty cool for you. All right, so this one here, I don't know. Do we want to put some piano with this one? Guitar, yeah. We're doing this live, guys. This, for those who don't think, you know, for everyone who thinks this is a highly produced,
it is,
like, deeply manicured, you know, 5-6 different episode takes, like multiple cuts. I hate to blow your minds.
I'm not sure that anybody would have confused that with us.
Well, you know, that's one of the comments I think I've got. I'm not sure. Maybe I just envisioned that when I was doing my vision boarding. Is there some Thursday night football here?
Got to speak it into existence, Josh.
Yeah, what is this, a Raiders game?
No, this is Cowboys and Giants.
Cowboys. Dak, is he worth the $160 million they're paying him or whatever?
To be determined.
Yeah. We're tuning up the guitar. All right. Well, do you think we're going to be ready to to hit this guitar while I read this quote for everyone, or... 15 seconds. All right. So, yeah, I think zooming out a little bit, I've been, and this actually ties a little bit to where I started, but Jamel, you're kind of a lover of wisdom. For those who don't know, Jamel's also has done a podcast in the past, and a lot of your videos that you did in relation to that were, walks in the morning that you centered around quotes.
Mm-hmm.
So quotes are important, I think, for a lot of reasons. Why? What draws you to the wisdom of others?
I think there's a lot to be learned from others. And when you have the opportunity or the ability to learn from others, it just adds to your life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So here's the quote. This is from a theologian named William Barclay. And this was found in a book from a guy who is a fantastic human. I just met him in person last weekend. His name is Tom Stella. Tom is an older gentleman. He was a former priest, actually, a Notre Dame, Michigan, Berkeley theologian.
Huh.
Very cool guy, and he's out of Colorado Springs, and he's a writer, and he's a spiritual advisor, and he speaks around a spirituality that is speaking to me at the moment, which is very much like a religious. It's more about understanding, like, why we're here without maybe the particular dogmas of a religious tradition, which, no judgment, it's just not where I'm at. And so within his book, which the one I'm reading was given to me by my dad, called Meditations for Mediocre Mystics, Tom Stella, And I went
Meditations
down to...
Meditations for Mediocre Mystics.
Yeah. It's a very mystical theology. It's not... It's super refreshing for me. And he writes these short daily passages that have a lot of quotes in it. He's a brilliant person. Lots of just, like, worldly knowledge. But this quote, William Barclay, for our listeners who are just sitting at the edges of their seats, here we go. There are two important days in our lives. The day we are born and the day we discover why. There are two important days in our lives. The day we are born and the day we discover why. And I've been really kind of stuck on that for a bit. It's profound, it's short, it's sweet, but what do you think?
Why have you been stuck on it?
Stuck in a good way.
Yeah.
I think that second question is taking a different shape in my life right now, the question of why. You know, and for us, you know, we've been part of, you know, for a long time, we're part of an organization that I think did a noble job of trying to frequently reference, like, that who's that military dude who does the, you know, your why? Simon Sinek. Yeah, Simon Sinek, I know your why. And I think that for me, my why was, you know, I wouldn't say it was performative. I've truly meant when I've said, this is why I do the work, mm-hmm. but it was very work-based. It was very job-focused. It was a little bit like maybe extending, like it started with work and then I tried to extrapolate and expand that to my other existence. So that question of why, I don't think ever really deeply, deeply resonated with me, like, at my core. It resonated with me professionally. It resonates with me still, which was, like, to serve, you know, social justice-oriented work and serve and help others. I still think that is a very, like, core why. But I'm trying to reframe this put a new filter on it, and that filter is less around work as the starting place, but life in general. Like, why am I even on this planet?
We at work on Monday, there was a quote, more or less, I'm paraphrasing here, but said your identity and your worth is not tied to your work.
Amen. What do you think about that?
I think it's 100% true. I think that it is, especially in the industry that we work in, it's hard to separate the two.
Yeah.
But I think over the past, I'll call it 3 years, I've said, especially as a black man growing up or living in America,
yeah,
car accidents, high blood pressure, hypertension, police brutality. There's a lot of things that's going to kill me in this world, but working at this school is not going to be one of those things.
Yeah.
I'm not going to allow the stress of a job, the job, even though I love my job and I think I'm good at my job, to be the thing that brings me down. So when I leave work, I leave work. It doesn't define who I am. And I think and it's hard to do, especially working in a school, because you're like, hey, these are my kids and I'm going to make sure my kids are successful. I want to make sure that I'm good at my job, that type of thing. But just being good at your job doesn't mean that you are, your worth is attached to being good at your job.
Right.
I think it's a very American thing for us to think that our worth is tied to how much money or how much we can bring to a company, as opposed to what we actually are,
yeah,
to your point, put here to do.
Yeah.
Now, when we find out or when we explore what it is that we're put here to do or why we're here on Earth, who knows when we figure that out.
Right.
Kind of to your point of, like, want to say your quote again. I'm sorry, one more time.
Yeah, there are two important days in life. The day you are born and the day that you figure out why.
And I think we, in American society, far too often tie that to monetary or work-related stuff.
Yeah. I think that's spot on. And, you know, I think there's a lot of variables here. You know, 4 months ago, I stepped out of my first career. I think it's safe to say, like, that is representative of 17 years of work in schools. And I'm turning 40 in a couple of months. My kids are, you know, 9 and almost 12. You know, not almost, but very, you know, closer to 12 than 11.
You're old as hell, bro.
Yeah, man. Shit. And I think it's not like I'm feeling old, but I'm feeling not young. And I'm feeling like, you know, kind of shifting a little bit of that perspective of thinking around, like, what I'm here for. And I don't know why. I love how you said it, Jamel. You said that, I don't know if you use the word journey, but like the process of figuring out. Do you think that you'll ever figure it out? Or do you think do you think that's the point? Is to figure it out, or do you think the point is to try to figure it out?
I think there's joy in the journey. There's joy in the process, right? With that being said, as a dad, I honestly feel like my job is to make sure that they are good, right? And that's every dad's job, right? And I think that is all-consuming and that is all-encompassing, whether that's being good at my job or not. Because if I'm good at my job, that means I can secure a paycheck to make sure that my kids eat.
Right.
I can secure a job to make sure that there's a roof over my kids' head. Yeah. And then on top of that, I got to make sure that they are prepared to go out into the world.
Yeah.
Right? So it's all-encompassing, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I'll throw out something I wrote. I was taking a bite. Well, it's on my phone. I hope I remember it. But I was thinking about this on my bike ride today. And it kind of fits in here. And I'm not sure which one of these you would kind of, if both resonate or if one does or the other. We often hear this phrase of like, things happen for a reason. And that's something I've really been wrestling with. I wonder if it's more like there's a reason things happen. We want to attribute all of this meaning to everything that's happening in life. And, you know, say it's part of some grand plan. And I was talking with Tom last weekend and he said, you know, we're talking about this idea within the spiritual realm of, and feel free to disagree. Like, everyone's on their own journey, and I don't know where my journey is taking me, but he said something that really hit me, and he said, we'd like to think that God, and however you want to define God, whether it's through a traditional kind of sense of it or nature as God,
or however you define it.
However you define it, we or some often want to say that God has a blueprint for us. And he said, I would suggest that we think of it as an imprint, right? There's an imprint on us, not a blueprint. There's not some predetermined, preordained direction, you know, like this week there's been some things that changed very rapidly within my own kind of the realm of work in my life. And I could look at that and say, man, all of these things happen for a reason. This person decided to make this choice, which led to this thing. And that, I don't know if that happened for that reason.
Define imprint for me.
Hmm.
What is an imprint?
Say more, like just a straight definition of it, you mean?
Yeah, it's like, there's not a blueprint, there's an imprint. What do you mean by imprint? Like, because when...
Yeah. Like
when
there's
you say
a
imprint,
sense, it's like a sense, like there's a put, like I think almost an imprint is like, you know, like the idea of pushing your hand into sand. And like when you move your hand away, there's like an imprint left there.
To me, that's definition, though.
Yeah,
it's clearly defined. There's boundaries. There's if you put an imprint in sand and somebody drops some water in it, the water that's inside that imprint is going to stay there.
Sure. But a blueprint is like the idea. Like, I guess my question to you would be like,
I think I would say they're one and the same. An imprint and a blueprint are the same.
Do you feel like like in your sense of spirituality at the moment, do you sense that like, are you of the camp right now where, like, things happen for a reason, or there's a reason things happen?
Yes, I believe that things happen for a reason. Things happen for a reason. I think that there's no way, there's also no way that around it, like, it couldn't have happened any other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jamie, hop in.
For me, I'd still believe in that, but I think, like, the timeline is, like, more stretched. Like, I don't see the results of, like, I, like, don't see it. I'm like, why is this happening? And it's, like, 2 years later. I'm like, oh, that's why that happened. Hmm. Like, the scale of it has grown as I've, like, aged.
Right. I think...
Do you think that's karma? Do you think there's do you believe in karma?
Karma defined is, like, different than kind of, like, oh, you did something fucked up happened to you. It's like you, every choice you make is either something that, like, releases karma or takes on karma. Come on, man, get out of here. If you have, like, if you're making choices that aren't, like, in your own best interest, you're, like, taking on more karma that you have to, like, work off before you can, like, be spiritual.
So real quick, and this is kind of, not derails, but kind of goes into what you're talking
about,
Josh.
Take this wherever it goes, yeah.
What is karma? The belief that if you do something, something's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
It's not like the real definition. That's like the American.
Yeah, I think that's a simplified. I think it's a little bit me, and I'm not an expert here, but...
Really?
I think it's No, this is a master. We're both masters of none. You know this. Yeah. You would have the other half.
So you can hear this before you go up there, Jamie, but I don't believe in karma.
Yeah, here's what I believe in. Well, I don't know if I can... I'm not here to affirm that. Here's what I will say about karma. I think my take on all of this at this point for me is more of a reflection. Like, I do think what you put out into the universe matters. I do think that what you put out into the universe matters. And I think we don't need to put that in some sort of deep way. Like, it could be practical, right? I've been using this analogy for over a year now because I worked with a coach last year and she was great and brought it up. But she's like the yellow SUV statement. Like, if you talk about yellow SUVs,
you're going to start
seeing them. Yep. And I think that's how the universe often works is, like, you know, if you're looking for a new job and you're open to leads and you're looking for people who are doing certain types of work, you're putting the energy out there to one, you know, you've maybe communicated that. So somebody hears that and they decide to say something back to you. Or you're looking for something that if you had the mindset at the moment of I'm not looking for things, and somebody's like, hey, you know, I run this company and I'm doing this, and you heard that and you're not looking for a job, you're not going to take that conversation further. Right. So I do think, very practically speaking, like, what you put out in the universe is in many ways, to Jamie's point, maybe you don't see the fruits of that right away. I think on a deeper level, what you put out into the universe in terms of, you know, shoot, we can throw out the word your soul, in terms of your vibe, in terms of how you present yourself and how you treat others, I think matters too. Do I think that overly defines the total direction you're going to go in life? No, because all sorts of shit happens in life.
So let me give you this analogy.
Yeah, go.
You are at King Soopers, Kroger, Albertsons, Target, whatever you want to call it, wherever you are in the world right now, and you're listening to this, think about a supermarket.
Jewel.
You park in the supermarket, you open your door, and you ding the car next to you.
Uh-huh.
The American sense of karma says that, theoretically, somewhere along down the road, somebody else is going to open the door and ding your car.
Yeah, like an eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye.
Yeah, I don't think that.
My point there is, if I do that, and then I say, you know what? I'm parking at the back of the parking lot where nobody parks for every time I go to the supermarket. What are the chances that somebody comes back and dings your door?
Right.
They dramatically fall.
Right. But here's the impact on you. You've now had to carry that thought into all of your further actions in a parking lot. Right. It's not the eye for an eye sense of karma, but that has affected your spirit. Right. I think living a life in which you're living without integrity, or where you're living in a place where you're not trying to, and I'm not saying like you're that kind of person.
No, I got you.
It's like fear based. It's like you're like constantly anxious about it, so you're like it's taking mental energy.
For me and my thought process is, for me and the way I look at religion, God isn't a vengeful God, right?
Right.
So if I ding somebody's car, accidentally or not, now I have to go back and think about all this time. I have to carry this burden with me.
I just don't subscribe to that, I guess. No, and I don't either. But I do think that, you know, and I think the way that you define karma matters, but I think where I'm kind of at this whole stage of trying to figure out this next part of my journey is like a little bit of like, what is God? What is all of this? That like, what is the soul? Like, do you believe in the soul?
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that mean to you? It's a hard freaking word to define, but
soul to me is your essence, right? Mm. There's your heart, there's your soul, and then there's your body, right? Mm-hmm. My heart is what keeps me alive. It keeps blood pumping. It is essential to making sure that I am walking around today. My soul is intangible. My soul is something that is in many different places and nowhere and everywhere at once, right? Mm-hmm. I get my soul from South Georgia. I get my soul from East Denver. I get my soul from Northern California, right? Like there are different pieces that add to your soul. And then my soul also is a part of my essence, my being, my what comes from me. And then my body is just the vessel that God has loaned me to, right, for this earthly journey.
I think that's really well said. Do you feel like other non-human life forms have a soul?
You know what? My barber a long time ago told me that he doesn't like dogs because they don't have a soul.
Do you agree with him?
I don't know that I agree with him. I don't know if I disagree with him.
Is he still your barber?
He is not my barber currently. He has not cut my hair in some time, but he is a very, very influential character in my life story. Yeah.
See, I would say the answer to my question would be yes. I think all living forms, I think the soul is what is connecting all forms of life to one another. I would argue even non-forms of life.
Can you vibe out with a lizard like you can vibe out with a mammal, though?
It depends what mammal.
Yeah, but like a cat versus a lizard, I'm like...
Oh, hey, man, I'll give you a real-life example today. I was biking on the Cherry Creek Trail. True story.
Nerd.
Yep, I had my helmet on, too. Definitely protecting the cabeza. And I was, you know, not going hard. I was taking a decent ride. And right before the bridge, I saw this thing on this rock. And I stopped. I looked. I'm like, that's a turtle. It was a big-ass snapping turtle. And I stopped, Jamie, and I sat there on the side of the trail. And I just stood and, like, I can't say I talked to the turtle, but I kind of just stood and kind of looked at the turtle. I'm like, hey, man.
He's in the spiritual club.
He's in the spiritual club, man. He was just getting some sunshine. He was living. And I think for me, the soul is what connects all living things. And I think that for me is, like, I'm not out there just, like, recklessly killing, you know, insects, and I certainly don't kill animals. But, like, you know, even being mindful, like, you know, I know that I have to, you know, probably kill some spiders every now and then because they're in the house. And
what
did
that spider ever do to you?
I know. What, they bite the kids, or Lindy gets scared. You know, things that are solvable problems too. But every now and then, the rare case where I'll intentionally, like, you know, dispose of an insect. I'm sorry.
Dispose of.
Yeah, it's disappeared. Use the Central American unalived terminology. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, I'm like, hey, sorry. I appreciate what you're doing in this world, but it's not working out right now.
And God, like, used energy to make you. Like, it's
yeah.
Like,
well, okay, so let's.
Oh, yeah. Go, go.
Let's go back to that, right? You kill a spider. What karma comes from that?
Why? And let me ask you this. Why do you keep coming back to karma?
Because, I think that's where this conversation is taking me.
That the kind of the way I'm approaching this feels karma-based.
But, like if you kill a spider, shouldn't there be some negative consequence in your life?
There might be.
Of equal or lesser value?
It's not like a direct one-to-one.
That's my point, though. That's to your point of the American concept of karma. It has been dictated to us that there is a
one-to-one. I would agree. I fully agree. I'm not here supporting American karma. I'm not, frankly, supporting...
You don't support America?
I'm not...
Big karma?
I'm tired of you and this woke-ass podcast that you're putting on.
Fuck big karma. Yeah, man. I mean, America takes things and we just want everything so goddamn simple, man. We just got to make everything palatable. We got to make things easy. We have to put things in terms that people can understand and, like, make things in this black and white stuff.
Whoa.
And, well, yeah, that too.
We're
but
back,
I,
baby.
Yeah, that harks back to episode one. But I guess, this isn't a conversation that can go so many ways. And I think where it started was this quote of, like, why are we here? And I do think these are the things that you have to wrestle with, is like, it does get to, did somebody put me here on purpose? Was I just because of a random assortment of chemicals and interactions between things placed on this earth? But we're here and we know we're here. We're here and we know. I don't know if the dogs know. Do they have that level of consciousness? We do.
They live in it. They, like, never leave it. It's like presence. Like, how present are you in the moment? They're always present. So, like, in some ways, they're totally there.
That's fair.
And in some ways, not at all.
Like, but, like, what about when a dog is chasing a car?
They're present, man. They want that car.
Dumb as shit, but present. Yeah.
So they're super present, but they're not thinking about the future.
No.
No, but, like, that's, like, not, like, human enlightenment. It's, like, our brains are very good at thinking about the future, but that's, like, the most enlightened state of humans is, like, not thinking about the future, in my opinion.
Do you think that this is going to get weird?
No, it's take it, man. Thank
Do God. You think there are other life forms in the universe, in the whatever, that have intelligence like us?
Didn't you shut me down on this in, like, week or, like, episode, like, 9?
Yep, let's get back to it. Let's get back to it.
Yeah, I think it's interdimensional, though. It's not, like, it's, like, they're moving through. They're not, like, coming in and out of our, like, kind of, like, whether it's our universe or just, like, our, like, scope of awareness.
So are we intelligent or are we dumb?
Relative to them?
Yeah.
I think we have, like, emotional depth, like, some cool artistic creative thing. Like, technically speaking, we haven't done any of the, like, nuclear technology breakthroughs that we could, like, fold space and move at the speed of light.
What makes you think that?
Because they I think they've seen it. They've seen, like...
Who is they?
The, like, government has, like, got to see... They, like, are tracking all these, like, things that are, like, moving. They have no propulsion. They're just flying around, like, military.
And they're around our nuclear spaces.
They go underwater. They can move so fast. And then, apparently, like, the whistleblowers say they've, like... Like, there's, like, a ship. And when you go in, it's small, but when you go in it, it's, like, a fucking enormous inside, and then everyone who goes in it gets, like, vertigo and sick because they're, like, entering a fourth dimension. That's, like, I'm on board with all that.
Yeah. Why did you ask the question?
Again, I feel like this is...
Are you an op?
Am I an op? Like, are we ops right now?
I mean...
What do you mean op?
Are you trying to, like, pull some information out here for unsavory. Oh, there's a cat here too. No, seriously, why did you ask the question as it pertains to this larger conversation?
I
don't mean it feels, it doesn't feel random to me, yeah. But I'm curious for you why.
I just feel like that's the direction of the conversation. I'm going to derail this whole conversation again one more time.
Well, let me comment on what you just said, though.
Please do.
I think it fits in because I think why we think we're here, we often want to take an answer that's easy to come by. And I don't mean easy in a cheap way. I don't mean easy in a bad way. I don't mean easy in a way that one should be judged for accepting it. But I do think that there's a level here of when you start bringing up questions of life outside of our own, or you start thinking about things that challenge our perceptions of our story, like the story we've been told about why we're here, which I think all well-intended stories of our purpose and our presence here, but they're insufficient, man. I just think words are insufficient. I think science is insufficient.
So what is sufficient?
I think just accepting that we're insufficient, that is sufficient.
That's anti-American.
Yeah, totally. You can experience it. You can feel it, but you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can articulate it like through like art.
Yeah.
Then you can through words.
I think it's a radical acceptance of our total insufficiency and our total smallness. And I think there's beauty in that. And I think some days when I'm focused on all of these other things that feel important, it is all probably equally unimportant. So I think what is sufficient is acknowledging our absolute insufficience to put words to what is actually out there. And I don't mean out there in like a weird alien sort of way. That's part of it. But like, I think like, sure, that's probably part of all this too. And like, that's almost liberating because then you're pretty open to kind of accepting something new. So that's my answer to your question, Jamal. Do you want to take one more cut at that, or do you want to do one more derailment? Are we on
the
sixth rail now?
We're on the sixth rail right now, and probably going to have to wrap after this.
Yeah, we got to wrap.
I do a check-in question every day with my team at work.
Okay.
What is the one conspiracy theory that you will die on a hill for?
Shit.
I'll start. Mattress Firm is a front for Mexican drug cartels.
What's the demographic breakdown of your team? Did you share that with them?
I'm going to keep that one to myself. Yeah. But if you think about it, Mattress Firm, mattress stores, how many people buy a mattress a day? How many people buy a mattress in a week? When was the last time you bought a mattress?
9 years ago.
And why are there so many mattress stores with that in that close proximity to each other? I think it's a front for a drug running cartel. This is how they clean their money.
I have like something to add to that.
Go for it.
So I was on Craigslist looking for like affordable mattresses, like new, and this.
You didn't want a soiled mattress?
No, sir. And I found this guy, and it would be like $550 for like a nice king. And he brought it over, and it was nice, and we liked it so much we got another one, like $400 for a queen, and they're nice. No, you just come in the bag.
Yep.
And I asked him how he got it, and he was basically like, if you order one online, it doesn't exist in America, it exists in China, and if you cancel it, or like, no, you get it and you return it, they don't send it back to China. There are these third parties that just get it for free. They're like, if you can pick it up, you can just have it. And then he has this whole business where he sells them cheap. But I'm like, dude, this is like, what is this economy? It seems like totally fake. To your point. Something's going on.
There is money in mattresses, but there's not that many people in the world that are in America or in Northeast Denver that are buying that many mattresses at one time for you to have a brick and mortar store in 2024.
Yeah. So that's your conspiracy.
That's my conspiracy theory.
You can't die on.
I will die on that hill.
You will die on that hill.
That the Mattress Firm is not a real thing. Wait. Before you go, what is a conspiracy theory that you will die on a hill for?
Just for our listeners, Jamie's
You can come back to us.
Yeah, just walked in, so we're just dropping this on her right now.
Hugo, you go.
So I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but on January 6th, 2020, the election was... No, I'm not kidding. Man, I'm not a conspiracy theory
so,
guy.
So while you're still thinking, here's some ones that were told to me. Princess Diana.
Oh.
What I tried, that's not a conspiracy.
I got one.
Go for it. Go
JFK's assassination.
That was another one.
Yeah, definitely. He was not the magic bullet theory. That's a bunch of crap.
Also, the moon landing was staged. That's one I've heard.
Yeah, I can't. I won't.
The moon landing was staged. Here's a new one that I didn't hear until I brought this up at work. Pigeons are government drones. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon?
That's a good point. And it could,
whenever you see a pigeon, it's always a full-grown pigeon. And it's always in urban areas.
It doesn't have to be all pet pigeons either. It could be like blended in with the pigeon population is a fleet of drones.
Shit. That's the thing with conspiracy theories, though, is if you have no reason to not believe it, some people are willing to just say, I'll just accept that.
One of the funniest ones I heard is that Helen Keller, there's no way that Helen Keller is both blind and deaf.
I mean, I think a lot of people can be blind and deaf.
But think about it. She was, when was Helen Keller's time?
Like 100 years ago.
Right. How do you express to someone that you cannot see and you cannot hear?
There's a whole book about it.
What the story is that she's full of shit. She's either blind or deaf.
So you're dying hill?
I'm not dying on that hill, but there are several people, especially younger folks now, that are just like, yo, there's no way. They're like, this bitch is lying.
Man, I can't believe young people. I just can't believe it.
She's kind of like amazing. Like the story you hear about her.
That's what I'm saying.
Her shit is nuts. I don't think she's lying about it, but the story they tell us about Helen Keller.
So back
let's
call it 1870 or whatever the fuck.
I think it was I don't know what it was.
1910. Helen Keller's just like, oh, you know what? I'm blind. Oh, and guess what else? I'm deaf.
Well, she didn't say she couldn't say it. Wait, so did anyone tell a career...
My point exactly.
Did anyone tell a career-ending sort of conspiracy theory? Did anyone bring up, the Holocaust or anything?
No, we didn't get that deep. And I actually told him, please don't tell me anything.
Yeah, don't tell me something that will...
Third-rail COVID conspiracy.
All right, so
Jamie, what's the one that you're...
I think it's like the aliens one.
Yeah, that's
you believe
a good
in
one.
Aliens?
And it's less about like they're on like Mars and then they're
there's not little green men out there.
There's like a realm.
There could be, man.
There's a realm, and then there also like multiverse. It's not like conspiracy theory.
Like Spider-Man multiverse.
That there's more than like the universe that we can see is just like a little thing.
What if we were the little green men in the grand scheme of the universe?
Do you think there's an alien Jesus? If we have a Jesus, we have God, we have whatever we believe in, do you think the aliens on a star 17 light years away have...
I think if they're trying to understand why they're there, if they cared about that part of their existence, about what they're doing, and they have that sense of awareness, here's the question, which we'll get to on our next podcast, is consciousness and awareness the universal... truly universal standard of enlightenment? Like, do aliens seek to make sense of why they're there, or do they know, or is that truly just... I like the Pink Floyd quote as we're getting deep on that. But hey, this has been a good one, guys. I appreciate Jamie, you hosting at your house. Jamel, what's your cat's name?
That's Tina.
Hi, Tina. Tina Turner. Chili Pow Pow.
I'm just going to call her Anime.
Foxy Lady.
Foxy Lady. And the rest of the clan here of Jamie's family. But it's been a good conversation. If you made it this far in the podcast, we would actually love feedback,
There's a lot coming in, so be patient with us.
Yeah. Was the music good? Was the music... more of it, less of it, was the topics. But no, we want to continue to engage. We want to continue to offer ways of thinking and concepts and ideas that might be helpful to you, or just give you something to kind of blow some time and, as you're driving in and out of work. But hey, it's been great. The Campfire Conversation, season 2, episode 5. We're well on our way. Thanks for joining. Thanks for being here. Peace out.
Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Love on your family. Don't drop the sticks.
Take care of the sticks. Yeah, just walked in, so we're just dropping this on her right now.
Ooh. Hugo, Hugo, you go.
So I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but on January 6th, 2020, the election was... No, I'm not kidding. Man, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy.
So while you're still thinking, here's some ones that were told to me. Princess Diana.
Oh...
What I tried, I was like, that's not a conspiracy.
I got one.
Go for it.
JFK's assassination.
That was another one.
Yeah, definitely. He was not the magic bullet theory. That's a bunch of crap.
Also, the moon landing was staged.
That's one I've heard.
Yeah, okay. I can't. The moon landing
was staged. Here's a new one that I didn't hear until I brought this up at work. Pigeons are government drones. Have you ever seen a baby pigeon? Whenever you see a pigeon, it's always a full-grown pigeon, and it's always in urban areas.
It doesn't have to be all pigeons either. It could be like blended in with the pigeon population is a fleet of drone.
Shit. That's the thing with conspiracy theories, though, is if you have no reason to not believe it, some people are willing to just say, I'll just accept that.
One of the funniest ones I heard is that Helen Keller, there's no way that Helen Keller is both blind and deaf.
I mean, I think a lot of people can be blind and deaf.
But think about it. When was Helen Keller's time?
Like 100 years ago.
Right. How do you express to someone that you cannot see and you cannot hear?
There's a whole book about it.
The story is that she's full of shit. She was either blind or deaf.
So you're dying
I'm not dying on that hill. But there are several people, especially younger folks now, that are just like, yo, there's no way. They're like, this bitch is lying.
Man, I can't believe young people. I just can't believe it.
She's kind of like amazing. Like the story you hear about her.
That's what I'm saying.
Her shit is nuts. I don't think she's lying about it, but the story they tell us about Helen Keller.
So back in, let's call it 1870 or whatever the fuck.
I think it was I don't know what it was.
1910. Helen Keller's just like, oh, you know what? I'm blind. Oh, and guess what else? I'm deaf.
Well, she didn't say she couldn't say it. You know? Wait, so did anyone tell a career...
My point exactly.
Did anyone tell a career-ending sort of conspiracy theory? Did anyone bring up the Holocaust or anything?
No, we didn't get that deep. And I actually told him, please don't tell me anything.
Yeah, don't tell me something that
will... Third rail COVID conspiracy.
All right, so what's your
Jamie,
ones?
What's the one that you're...
I think it's like the aliens one.
Yeah, that's
you believe
good
in
one.
Aliens?
Yeah, and it's less about like they're on like Mars, and then they're
there's not little green men out there.
There's like a realm.
There could be, man.
There's a realm, and then there also like multiverse. It's not like conspiracy theory.
Like Spider-Man multiverse.
That there's more than like the universe that we can see is just like a little thing.
What if we were the little green men in the grand scheme of the universe?
Do you think there's an alien Jesus? If we have a Jesus, we have God, we have whatever we believe in, do you think the aliens on a star 17 light years away have...
I think if they're trying to understand why they're there, if they cared about that part of their existence, about what they're doing, and they have that sense of awareness, here's the question, which we'll get to on our next podcast, is consciousness and awareness the universal... truly universal standard of enlightenment? Like, do aliens seek to make sense of why they're there, or do they know, or is that truly just... I like the Pink Floyd quote as we're getting deep on that, but Hey, this has been a good one, guys. I appreciate, Jamie, you hosting at your house. Jamel, what's your cat's name?
That's Tina.
Hi, Tina. Tina Turner. Chili Pow Pow.
I'm just going to call her Anime.
Foxy Lady.
Foxy Lady. And the rest of the clan here of Jamie's family. But it's been a good conversation. If you made it this far in the podcast, we would actually love feedback, you know.
There's a lot coming in, so like, be patient with us.
Yeah. Was the music good? Was the music more of it, less of it? Was the topics? But no, we want to continue to engage. We want to continue to offer ways of thinking and concepts and ideas that might be helpful to you, or just give you something to kind of blow some time and, you know, as you're driving in and out of work. But hey, it's been great. The Campfire Conversation, season 2, episode 5. We're well on our way. Thanks for joining. Thanks for being here. Peace out.
Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. Love on your family. Don't drop the sticks.
Take care of the sticks.